Chapter 19. It turns into a surprisingly quiet, mellow day. Stiles gets his father to give him the Netflix account for the day, and they marathon Stranger Things. Even Peter watches with rapt attention, which kind of amuses Stiles. They have enough groceries in the house that they don't have to go out. Stiles already had the weekend meals planned before Victoria had made her move on Scott. The TV show is engrossing enough that it keeps him in one place, even though he's tense and fidgety. Allison turns up just before dinner, having heard the entire story from her parents. She hugs Stiles' father for about 10 minutes, thanking him repeatedly for keeping her mother from committing suicide. Tom pats her on the back and tells her that he doesn't need to be thanked. Allison hugs him again and then goes to fuss over Scott. She's obviously upset at what her mother had done, and Stiles knows the fallout from that incident isn't over yet. Stiles still isn't thrilled that Victoria's not going to be arrested, but he doubts that Allison is going to let her go completely unpunished. He makes a mental note to buy Scott and Allison condoms. After they've eaten, Chris comes to pick her up. He honks the car horn rather than coming to the door, and Stiles can't help but roll his eyes. He's starting to tense up again, and he doesn't know how he's going to sleep. He barely slept the night before, worrying over Scott, so he's exhausted. But the nightmares are going to be awful, and his house is full of people. He doesn't want any of them witnessing the worst of it. "Okay, troops," Tom says, after the dishes have been done, and the leftovers, meager as they were, have been put away. "Everyone's gotten cleared to stay here tonight, right?" he asks, and everyone confirms that they have. "Stiles, do we still have that old air mattress? From that time you tried to convince me that camping was a thing either of us would enjoy?" Stiles asks. "Yeah, I think it's in the attic. Want me to run and grab it?" "Yeah," Tom. And Stiles heads up the stairs, glad to have something to do. It takes him 5 or 10 minutes of rooting around in old boxes before he comes down with the air mattress and 2 sleeping bags. "Not a fan of camping?" Derek asks, quietly amused. "If camping were so awesome, people wouldn't have invented houses," Stiles tells him, and Derek snorts. "We'll probably have to take turns blowing this up," Tom says, looking at the air mattress skeptically. "I have the pump I use for my bike tires," Stiles says, and grabs it from the garage. While they're doing that, Tom says, "So the sofa folds out, and I think it's big enough for Isaac and Boyd. Erica, you can have the air mattress. If you take it into my office, you can have some privacy there. Scott, Derek, you two ought to be able to sleep in Stiles' room." Scott nods, then picks up the 2nd sleeping bag and tosses it to Derek. Derek looks at it like Scott had just handed him a dead animal, then tosses it back. Stiles sees the expression on Scott's face, a combination of confusion and irritation, and freezes, wondering briefly if anybody would notice him climbing out the window. "We're not all going to fit on the bed," Scott says. "I'm aware of that," Derek replies. "That's why you're going to need the sleeping bag." "Dude," Scott says, "come on. I know you don't like me, but there's no reason for both of us to sleep on the floor when I can share the bed with Stiles." Stiles cringes, takes a deep breath, and mumbles, "Derek in the bed with me." Nobody hears him, possibly because Derek is trying to save him from embarrassment by continuing to argue with Scott. Of course, his manner of doing so leaves a lot to be desired, since what he says is, "Why don't you go share Allison's bed, her being your soulmate and everything?" Scott flushes pink, and Tom intervenes. "Okay, that's enough. Settle this like gentlemen, or I will settle it for you." Derek's jaw tightens. Scott clears his throat and says, "Look, Stiles and I have known each other since kindergarten. We've shared beds a lot of slumber parties and stuff, so it's not a big deal, okay?" Derek stares at him coldly for a long minute before he says, flatly and with deliberation, "You are an idiot." Tom practically facepalms and he says, "Derek, I said no," Derek snarls, his fangs peeking through. "I'm not going to be polite about this when he's standing there, not even noticing the look on Stiles' face right now, not even realizing what Stiles has been going through, trying to tell me it's not a big deal because he has absolutely no idea why this is even an issue in the first place. He turns to Stiles in a quick, jerky motion and demands, Stiles, do you want me to sleep in your bed tonight? Stiles is mortified, but the humiliation of being called out on this in front of everyone is far less agonizing than the fear of sleeping without Derek there at night. So he swallows hard and nods once, saying in a thin voice, Yes, please. Scott blinks at him, confusion and jealousy and anger all warring on his face. What the hell am I missing? If he was just confused, Stiles thinks he could take a deep breath and a step back and explain things rationally, maybe after getting everyone else out of the room. But the anger and the jealousy push his temper over the edge. Oh my God, seriously? Do you still not get this? Am I going to have to spell out for you that I'm a basket case right now, and I can't sleep without my werewolf security blanket that I already didn't sleep last night, and if I don't have Derek to cuddle with, I'm only going to have nightmares all night? I definitely wanted to have this discussion in front of everybody, too. Thanks, guys. Okay, we're gonna... Boyd grabs Isaac by the elbow and Erica by the wrist and tugs them out of the room. Peter departs quietly as well, although Tom stays. You said he wasn't your boyfriend, Scott manages. In what world is that even relevant right now? Stiles asks. No, he's not my boyfriend. He's kind of my to-be boyfriend someday, which you would know if you had actually ever asked me what was going on between the two of us, but you didn't. Because Allison, I don't even care. You love Allison. I'm happy for you. But that's not the point. Derek sleeping in my bed has nothing to do with whether or not we're dating. He just... Stiles flushes pink up to the tips of his ears. He makes me feel safe, okay? Derek blushes a little too, and under normal circumstances that might have made Stiles gooey on the inside. But right now he's full of rage and embarrassment. Look, I'm sorry, okay? I didn't know you were having such a hard time. Of course you didn't! I didn't exactly want to advertise it! Yeah, but you used to tell me everything, Scott says, sounding wounded. Stiles' temper frays further. I didn't tell you because nobody could understand this, okay? Nobody who hadn't been through it. You want to hear about it? The craziest fucking things go through your head when you think you're about to die. The first thing I thought when Kate pulled a gun on me was, I'm glad I just took a piss because otherwise I'd be pissing myself. Then she used my phone to take that fucking selfie and I thought, my phone is going to be evidence now. I wonder if I can get a free upgrade from Samsung. Is this the kind of information you're after? Stiles, I didn't... You don't know, okay? Every goddamn night I close my eyes and try to sleep, and I see that fucking smile, hear her laughing at me. You know what she said to me? She's strapping this fucking bomb to my chest, and she said, Don't worry, you won't even feel it. It'll be way worse for the kids who are further away. Like, that was supposed to be some sort of fucking comfort. Then, Stiles' voice cracks, and he shakes off Derek's arm. He just wants to get it all out. Maybe it'll help. He honestly doesn't know, but he can't stop, won't stop. She told me it didn't matter what Peter or my dad did. One way or another, that bomb was going off. She said she hoped I had dental records so they could figure out which teeth to bury. Then my dad showed up, right? And you know, there was that moment of relief. Everything's going to be okay. Then I saw the look on his face and saw he was just as scared as I was. That's when I knew I was going to die. Did you know you can actually get so scared that you black out while standing up? Like, you're still standing, your eyes are still open, but everything's just this great white noise in your ears, and you can't see anything, can't hear anything, like you're already dead. So that's what happened, and that's why every time I try to sleep, I see Kate smiling and see my dad looking scared, and I feel like I'm going to die all over again, and he can't breathe. His chest is tight and aching. He pulls for air, pulls hard. And I went to school the next day, and you asked, Are you okay? And I said yes, and for some reason you believed me, so I didn't say anything else about it because you were already back to talking about fucking Allison. how hard it must be for her to find out that her aunt was a killer. She must be so confused and upset, and she... Hey, hey, Stiles, his father says gently, putting his hands on Stiles' shoulders. You need to take some deep breaths. You're hyperventilating. I can't, Dad, I... Yes, you can. You're fine. Here, look at me. Take a deep breath in and hold it. Okay, now let it out. There you go. That's better. In and out. In and out. Stiles, hyperventilating, turns to shuddering sobs. He lets his father pull him into an embrace, smooth down his hair, and rub circles on his back. You're okay. You're safe now, Tom murmurs. I've got you. You're safe now. Stiles gradually relaxes, letting the worst of the hysterics trail away into his father's shoulder. Finally, he hiccups a little and pulls away, wiping a hand over his eyes. Well, he chokes out, this is probably going to go down as the most awkward slumber party of my life. I don't know, Scott says, sounding dubious. Remember when we were 13 and you got 7 minutes in heaven with Brianna Gorski? Stiles starts laughing. That's pretty hysterical, too, but it makes him feel better. And Scott's not pissed at him, which is good. Oh my God, I think I had blocked that out of my memory. Probably all for the best, Scott agrees. He shuffles a little and says, look, sorry. Not just for not noticing what was up, but for being a dick tonight. I just, nope, it's fine, end of apologies before I die of embarrassment. Stiles swallows again and says, just, either cram in the bed with us or sleep on the floor, but don't make Derek sleep on the floor, okay? Okay, Scott says. Great, awesome. I'm gonna go wash my face and pretend none of this ever happened. Stiles trots out of the room before anything else can happen. He spends several minutes in the bathroom, further calming down, before he emerges. The others have come out of wherever they're hiding, and Tom is talking to them about the kind of precautions they're going to need to take over the next few days. Okay, so the three of you can sleep in Stiles' room, Erica in my office, Isaac and Boyd on the sofa, Tom says. Peter smirks at him. Did you forget about me? No, Tom says, but I figured no matter what I said, you'd respond with some shameless comment about sleeping in my bed, so I was just going to leave you out altogether. Ah, you know me so well, Peter says, going from a smirk to an outright grin. That sounds like you'd be fine with it. And there it is, Tom says, rolling his eyes. Tom sighs a little as he looks around his finally silent house. He doesn't want to keep the kids awake, so he finishes his tea, placing the empty mug in the sink, and then gestures for Peter to follow him upstairs. Your ridiculous attitude aside, there's nowhere else to put you, so you can sleep on the floor in here, he says. Peter nods and surprises Tom by not immediately making another lewd comment. Instead, he says, I probably won't sleep very much anyway. Do you mind if I move that chair over to the window? Feel free, Tom says. He heads into the bathroom to brush his teeth and comes out a few minutes later in a t-shirt and flannel pajama pants. Peter has curled up in the chair and is staring at the window, thoughtfully sipping his tea. Okay, if I turn the lights off? Feel free, Peter says. It won't bother me. Tom climbs into bed and then turns off the lights. It's quiet for several long minutes. I am sorry, you know, Peter says. I never meant for Stiles to get involved in this. Never meant for him to be hurt like that. It wasn't your fault, Peter, Tom says with a quiet sigh. I was upset the other day when I brought it up. Well, I deserved it, Peter says. Agreed, Tom replies, and Peter gives a quiet snort. But my point stands, for two reasons. The first is simple. What Kate did to Stiles is just that, something Kate did. She was a cruel, twisted individual, and she hurt my son, and now she's dead. As far as Kate goes, justice has been served. As for you... No, I'm still not entirely over what you did. But to be fair, I would have been involved anyway. I was already investigating Laura's murder. I would have met Derek and probably reacted much the same way, even if I didn't know about werewolves. He was a scared kid who needed help. It was obvious that the people being killed were people involved in the Hale House fire. So yeah, even if you hadn't attacked me that night, I would have been involved. From there, it's hard to say how things would have played out. But in the end, the only person responsible for what Kate did is Kate. Peter nods a little. Tom can see him in the dim light, pulling his legs underneath himself to curl tighter in the chair. I haven't thanked you either, I don't think. So thank you, Tom. You've been a better friend than I deserve. Tom shrugs a little. You've made some shit choices, that's true. But don't make the mistake of thinking that I do what I do entirely for you. Meaning? Peter asks. I decided to help you kill Kate before she abducted Stiles because of things she had done and because I felt that it was the best choice out of a bunch of bad options. If it had happened like that, the way we planned, I wouldn't have had any regrets. I don't believe that killing someone is ever the right answer, but I do believe that sometimes it's not the wrong one either. After that, I chose to be your beta, I chose to help you, to try to build this pack, because I thought it was the right thing to do. It wasn't just about being your friend, although that played a part, it was about helping Derek and Scott, and maybe myself too. I make choices based on what I think is best for everyone. That's unbelievably sexy, you know. I'll take your word on it. Peter takes a drink of his tea and then says, Does it bother you when I say things like that? Tom looks over at him. Not particularly, but I have to admit I'm not sure what your actual intentions are. I suppose I'm not sure myself. Peter stares out the window for a long minute. I think the reason I kept trying to push the pack onto you is because I don't really want this pack. It's not my pack. I've built it, and it gives me the strength I need, but my pack was Talia and Aaron and Olivia. This pack, it isn't mine. Every time I see them, it just reminds me of what I've lost. It's like losing them all over again. Tom sits up, pulling one knee to his chest, thinking about this. If there were some magic words I could say to make it better, I would. But the truth is, there is no magic. Just a lot of pain and grief and this kind of exhaustion that gradually turns into acceptance. I still miss Claudia almost every day. Last year would have been our 20th anniversary, and I cried for an hour in the bathroom at work. It never goes away, but it gets better. You learn to live with it. Peter sighs. Thanks. For not bullshitting me. I mean it when I say it gets better, though. Most days now, I can think back on the times with Claudia and I can smile. I can miss her, but still cherish the time we had together. You'll get there, too. You'll be able to look at the pack and be glad they're there, even if they're not who you want them to be. But, you know, maybe we're both thinking about this the wrong way. You didn't want this pack, so you tried to make them mine. I was annoyed because I thought of them as yours, but really it's our pack, isn't it? Peter looks a little startled in the dim light, but then a faint smile touches his face. Yes, I suppose it is. Our pack. He lingers on the words. I think I could be okay with that. Me too. The silence lingers for a few minutes, but it's a little more comfortable now. Finally, Tom says, In all seriousness, What's with the incessant flirting? You know, honestly, I think it was a way to comfort myself, to show myself that not everything had changed. The pack is gone, the people I love are dead, but some things never change, and driving you around the bend by flirting with you might be one of them. Don't give yourself so much credit, Tom says. I've been driven around precisely zero bends. Peter laughs. Still, you see what I mean. Honestly, I didn't expect it to go anywhere at all. You never responded before. Well, I was married, Tom says, also a little oblivious. Just a little, Peter says, amused. So where do we go from here, Tom? Tom thinks this over for a few moments. I think we take it slow. Try something really outlandish, like going out on a date. Maybe don't try to make it anything it's not, but just... Be who we are, run the pack, and see where it goes. That sounds much too mature and reasonable for me. Tom snorts. Yeah, I bet. You always were, what's the phrase Styles uses? A drama llama. Is that different from a drama queen? God knows. It's like kids speak a different language these days. I could live 100 years and never be able to explain why sick is suddenly something good. But if you want to do something really mature and adult, you could try actually sleeping tonight. Peter arches an eyebrow. Meaning? When was the last time you slept? I'm guessing it's been a while. You've been spending the nights at your own apartment, and my bet is that you're on edge all night, even if you do manage to fall asleep. So get your ass over here. You don't mind? Peter asks, although he's already on his way over. Wouldn't have offered if I did. Tom lifts the blankets up so Peter can crawl into bed next to him. Peter chucks off his jeans but leaves the rest of his clothes on and curls up right next to Tom, not quite touching, but close enough that Tom can feel the warmth of his body. He hasn't slept in the same bed as somebody else since Claudia died. It feels good, though. Better than you would have expected. Peter's facing him, so it's easy and almost natural to lean over and press a kiss against his forehead. Get some rest, you infuriating bastard. Thank you, Tom, Peter murmurs, his eyes already sagging shut. I think I will. So, like, Scott's voice trails off before he can even manage the first question. Styles sighs a little, but he figured this was coming. Derek's gone to take a shower, so it's just the two of them in his bedroom. Scott has spread out the sleeping bag in the corner, but he's not lying down yet. When Styles doesn't say anything, Scott rallies. You said Derek is your to-be boyfriend someday? Yeah, I mean, I'm 16, you know, and he's 21. Styles isn't about to tell Scott anything about Kate's assault on Derek. That's just not his business. So for now, we're just friends. You could still date, though, Scott says. I mean, 18 is age of consent for sex, not for dating. Styles shrugs. I don't mind being his friend, though. He sees Scott's skeptical look and says, just because you don't like him. He's just kind of a jerk, Scott says. Yeah, well, so am I, Styles says with a shrug. And yeah, he gets on your case about Allison, but I think he only does that because he's defensive on my behalf that you care about her so much more than you care about me. Or at least that's how he sees it. I'm not saying it's true. It's not true, Scott insists. I just said it wasn't true. No, you said you weren't saying. Styles flops backwards, drags a pillow over his face, and considers suffocating himself. Scott sighs. I'm sorry, I'm being a jerk again. Maybe I am just jealous. If you like him, that's what's really important. I do like it. He's really smart and honestly an enormous dork under his grumpiness. Like, he's such a nerd. He'll only drink loose leaf tea and he knows the name of that thing on your pencil that connects your eraser. And he lectured me for 10 minutes on why that painting that's just a blue square is actually art. But he's also just really sweet. And I know it doesn't seem like that, because he's a grouchy jerk most of the time, but he is. Like, I was telling the truth about why he came to the dance. He knew I was worried about going stag, so he just decided to show up and surprise me, so people wouldn't tease me. He's lost so much, and it would be so easy for him to take it out on the rest of the world, but he's still really gooey on the inside. I'll stop talking now. Okay. Scott is laughing quietly. And I'm not pissed at you for being head over heels for Allison, okay? I'm really not. She's great, and I want you to be happy. I only got pissed when you got weird about me making friends with Derek and doing werewolf stuff while you were off doing stuff with her. Yeah, that was, Scott winces, maybe not my best moment ever. I mean, honestly, about the werewolf stuff, my dad made me promise not to tell you. He didn't want you involved. And I can see why, you know? Because I was... Styles' voice trails off and he lets out a breath. I was so excited. I was psyched. My dad was a freaking werewolf and we were going to have adventures and it was going to be like a movie and it was going to be awesome. But it wasn't like that at all. He swallows the lump in his throat. Instead, I found out about how alone and scared Derek was and how hurt he had been, and I had to watch my dad struggle with all this when he had always been so strong, and then Kate. And maybe that's why I've had so much trouble dealing with this. Because it wasn't just the, you know, the trauma of nearly getting murdered. It was just, I felt so small. Like I was in so far over my head without realizing it. And the world, which had suddenly seemed so exciting and awesome, was just suddenly fucking terrifying. And, it sucks, is what I'm trying to get across here. That definitely sounds like it sucks, Scott agrees. So when I started having bad dreams, Derek would stay with me, and he never made a big deal out of it. Like, he never made me feel like I should just get over it, and never told me to man up or anything like that. I didn't even have to ask him. He just realized that I slept better if he was here with me and started staying with me. That's why I like him, you know? That's the sort of person he is. I get that, Scott says with a nod. I'm glad he's been helping you. A few minutes later, Derek comes in, dressed in a t-shirt and boxer shorts. He wordlessly climbs into bed. Stiles turns the lights out before Scott can witness them actually curling up together, which would somehow still be embarrassing. He hears Scott lie down a moment later as he curls up with his head tucked against Derek's shoulder. He drifts into bad dreams almost immediately and sleeps restlessly despite Derek's presence. He wakes up with a jolt at the sound of breaking glass, and for a minute he's not sure if it was in his dream or in reality. Then there's another crash and a yelp from downstairs that sounds like Isaac. A moment later, he smells smoke. Derek snaps upright and is already scrambling to his feet, while Stiles is still trying to process what's happening. He gives Scott a solid kick on his way by, not to be a jerk, but because it's the most expedient way to wake him. But by the time they get down the stairs, the entire first floor is engulfed in flames.